forgot to welcome our visitors today. Thank you. I know there's family members here and friends of certain musicians, I think, sitting in a row together. So thank you for supporting your friends. That's really cool. Yeah, and everybody else. So thank you for friending me on Facebook. Some of you haven't, Pastor Stephen, but it's a great way for me to keep up, you know, with what's going on in your lives, and you can find out about me. So try to do that. I was poking around yesterday, and I saw that a lot of people were posting pictures from their holiday travels to some people overseas and some people to warmer places or just to the other side of the mountains in Colorado. And I go, oh, good for them. it's a wonderful time to be able to travel, but I'm a little jealous. You know, I kind of feel trapped living here. I haven't figured it out yet. Like, where do you go? You know, it's too far to drive anywhere. I know Boise is like the nearest city and it's 5 hours, and I haven't yet figured out a reason to go there. And Wendover, I know people go there. Because there's such great distances, and I don't have friends or family nearby, you know, like some people do. They can drive up over the mountains, go to Colorado, and visit friends. Plus, you know, I'm clergy, so it's a busy time of year. So, you know, I really can't leave. But I know how important it is to get away. Remembering the times that I have done that, to just put some distance between yourself and your home, your work, you know, your everyday life. And I know one feels lighter and lighter the further one gets away, usually. Or, you know, that trip to the airport is always such an ordeal, and checking in baggage and then going through security and all those small indignations. But then once you get to the gate, it's sort of like your shoulders go down a little bit, don't they? Because you're that much near your destination and further away from your ordinary life. And that baggage that we just saw in the video, we're able to leave behind at least temporarily and get a little respite from it. Respite, I like that word, respite. Sometimes here at the church, I carry around a lot of baggage here at the church, you know, because we're understaffed at the moment. There's so much to do. We're still $60,000 short of the stewardship goal. So what does that mean? You know, a lot of stuff didn't get done during the interim period, and so I'm experiencing sort of confusion among like committees and leadership, like who does what and what's my role, what does it mean to have a called pastor, what does it mean for me to be the spiritual leader of the congregation, and I carry all that around with me, and there's really no letting go of it. I haven't found a way to let go of it, but I forget that it's not just up to me, you know, that we are co-ministers. And it's not up to me to fix things, to make the system healthier and higher functioning, that we all have to do that together. And I thank Glenn Brown, the moderator of the church council, for reminding me of that. So it would have been nice to have gotten away this week to just have a little recess, a little suspension of my self-induced weariness. Reminds me of a number of years ago. I had been with my first partner for a long time, and we'd had a really wonderful, wonderful life together, but then it wasn't so wonderful. You know how that goes? Any other retreads here today? Yeah, a few, yeah. And so I left Seattle, and I went to Chicago to go to music school. And I was so excited because I was traveling a great distance from Seattle to go to Chicago. It was going to be a new life, a new city. I was going to have a new identity. I was going to be in a place that was I've always wanted to live in. I was starting over. but it didn't quite work out that way. When I unpacked my bags in my new apartment in Chicago, guess what I found? Yeah, all my stuff. All my stuff was in those bags. Some people identify. All my stuff, my resentments, all the blaming and shaming and guilt and grief. And I just kept going back to all those things. I kept that pain alive, which kept me then from being fully present in my new life, because I was still carrying all that unresolved issues around on my back. It kept me from entering into healthy new relationships. It kept me from starting a new life. And I just kept hurting. And it was nobody's fault. You know, it was me. It was me. I did it. So I got it into my head one day that I needed to do something to let go of this past relationship. Maybe some of you have done something similar. So my ex was like very generous person and had given me two different rings over the year. One was this beautiful made a silver and lapis ring, and the other was a Cartier ring, you know, with the three gold bands that looped together with the three different kinds of gold. And so I decided I needed to let go of them in order to let go of the relationship, in order to move on. And so I went downtown Chicago one day, and I went to one of the bridge on the Chicago River at Michigan Avenue. Do people know that spot, you know, with the guardhouses and all of that? And so I walked there and stood there, and I took off the lapis and silver ring, and you know, I blessed him, and I took it and I just threw it, and the sunlight caught it and it glinted, and then it plunked down into that gray water of the Chicago River. And then I took the Cartier. Can you imagine how much that would be worth today with the price of gold? Can you imagine? So I took that and I blessed him again, and I took it and I threw it, and again the sunlight glinted on the gold, and I watched it as it plunked down into the river. And I looked up and I realized that I had drawn a small crowd of onlookers wondering what this man was doing, but it was a ritual that really helped me. By letting go of something so intimate, I did start to let go of him. And I'm happy to report that after 20-some years, just a couple of years ago, he got a hold of me, and we talk on the phone now, and it feels really good. But I had to do what I had to do to quit hurting and to move on. God is good. God is good. I also, for years, had a resentment towards my mother. I'm the only one here that resents my mother, right? Or did? Yeah. Anyway, she was, maternally challenged. And so it was a struggle. I don't want to get into details, but you know where I'm going. And it took me until 2 years ago, right before a big birthday, doing some work, really some great work, to be able to forgive her, to have, you know, that compassion for her and to be able to forgive her. Because I hadn't realized how much space she was taking up rent-free in my head and how present she was, you know, with all that stuff. We've talked about that before, all that and all that stuff. And so when I was able to forgive her, and it was only through the grace of God, you know, and some help by asking for help that it was, boy, was that freeing. I let go of her. So am I the only one that's carrying any baggage around or have? Anyone else? Nod your head. Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? So like a lot of things in the video were true. Did it resonate with anyone, some of those things? Yeah, a lot of those things. It was very boom, 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 very, very, very succinct. So just tell me, like, in a word, maybe something you're carrying around, okay? Just shout it out, and I'll repeat it. Shame. Discouragement. Guilt. non-acceptance, anger. Resentment, fear, pain, spiritual abuse. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, you know, addiction, worries, prejudices, disappointments, illness, suffering, hate, anger, lost opportunities, you know. Just thinking, you know, some of us who've been around a while, you know, there's a few of us here. I remember my sisters because they were older, and they got luggage when they went away to college. Remember those pink or blue Samsonites? They were like so cool, you know. That's for some of us. That's the luggage we've been carrying around, and it's 2014. Can you imagine how battered up and beat up and held together with duct tape and broken wheels that our luggage must be, you know, broken zippers, you know, but we hold on to those bags, you know, maybe it's down in the basement, in a storage room, in the attic, but we keep those things. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll take out one of my bags and I'll open it up and I'll open it and I'll look at it again. And I'll take those things out, and I'll replay and relive all those things we just talked about. And is that helpful? No, not at all. Not at all. You know, all that stuff. You know, I'm a terrible person, I'm a loser, you know. Just keeps us from being fulfilled, from being happy. For me, one of my big things was like the lost opportunities. Anyone else? If only I had done things differently, if only he had, if only she had, if only I had known, you know, that tape, you know, the what if trap, the pity pot trap, you know. And then we also have in our baggage all these expectations that somehow we get that we are owed, or the world is supposed to be a certain way, or we're supposed to be treated a certain way, or outcomes are supposed to be a certain way. Somehow we think certain things are supposed to be possibilities when no way is that going to happen. And then when we have all that baggage, it affects all the good stuff too. You know, it sort of infects it. Like, did you know that you're not supposed to recycle cardboard pizza boxes? No, you're not supposed to, because they have oil and cheese and stuff in them, right? Especially the oil. And so when it goes with the good paper, it leaks into the good paper, and then they can't use it. So the entire load of recycling has to be tossed out. And that's the same way with like our stuff, our baggage. You know, it infects the good stuff. So we are taught that we need to let go of our stuff in order to be free, to live the lives we were meant to live, to be able to truly love one another, to be able to know God in a deep and profound way. Otherwise, we're just like in a holding pattern if we don't do this. Any of you been on a long flight recently? I know some people here have. You know, you like, flying is hard, right? It's when you got kids especially, but it's just hard for anyone. And you're tired, and the seats are too small. I hate flying now. I cannot fit into a seat. And you're going, and the air starts getting bad, and you know you're getting closer, and then they say, prepare for landing. Will the cabin crew prepare for landing? So everyone, the tray tables go up, you put your stuff under the seat, your seat has to go upright position, and you go, oh, thank God, you know, thank God. And then you hear the captain say, oh, I'm sorry, but our gate, there isn't a free gate, and we're going to have to be in a holding pattern. Is there anything worse? When you're ready to land and they put you in a holding pattern. Well, that's what our lives are like when we don't get rid of this baggage. You know, we're in a holding pattern, so we have to let go of it. And it's like the Christmas story about Sodom and Gomorrah. Wait, doesn't make sense, does it? I love this story only because of a part of it. But in it, you know, Abraham is chosen by God to be the father of a nation, and he hasn't been told yet that Sarah, in her old age, is going to be given a child. But he's really annoyed at the people of the plains, which is Sodom and Gomorrah. And this story is not about what people usually say when you hear out there. It's about hospitality and generosity and welcoming the stranger. And if anyone out there tells you differently, tell them to come see me. All right, I will set them straight on this. It's about those things that I mentioned. Anyway, God's going to like burn the place down because he's so annoyed with it. And so Abraham's nephew Lot lives there, and he's beloved of him. And so he bargains with God. God said, you know, you have to find 50 righteous people. And then Abraham said, how about just 45? And God said, okay, 45. You know, if you can find 45 righteous people, I won't burn the place down. Of course, Abraham knew they wouldn't. And he goes, well, how about 40? And God goes, 40? Let me think about this. He goes, okay, 40. You can find 40 people. And it goes on and on and on and on, you know, down and down. I love this. You know, he's dickering with God. Finally, it's down to 5 people. So Abraham goes, oh, we probably can find 5 people. Anyway, so the three angels, they go to Lot's house, knock on the door, and he says, welcome, welcome, come in. Are you hungry? Do you need to bathe? Do you need to eat? He did the right thing. He was a righteous person. But then everything gets all crazy. They all come to the door, everyone, and says, you know, who are these people? Get them out of here. Bring us your daughters. And blah, 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 you know, the crazy story. But ultimately, Lot flees with his wife, Lot's wife, and his daughters. And they run away, but they have to leave everything behind. Everything. Everything. And they get above the city, and God rains brimstone down on the cities of the plain, and they start on fire, and God had told them not to look back, right? And so they're walking along, and who looks back? She looks back, and what happens? Pillar of salt, please. She does. She becomes immobilized. It's a metaphor. She becomes immobilized because she's attached to her stuff. She's attached to her baggage. She looked back. She couldn't look to where they were going, into freedom, into love, into light. She had to look back into this restricted little life in this awful place where they lived. And so she became immobilized, but she could not let go. And this is what we're talking about today, about letting go of our baggage at the end of the year, you know, letting go of control. Thy will, not mine, be done. Thy will, not mine, be done. Yeah, we got to even let go of our expectations. You know, it's like, I had a friend, and I know you've experienced this too, they're like the best employee in the world. The absolute best. They get their work in on time, they show up on time, they're kind to people, they'll even work overtime and they don't get paid, they'll go in and on Saturdays working on the project because they want the team to look good. You know, that sort of thing. But then they want to be acknowledged, they want to be recognized, and they want to be compensated. Those are expectations, right? When you go way, way, way beyond. But then it doesn't happen because that was their expectation. So then they become resentful. You know, so we set ourselves up this way with expectations. That's part of our baggage also. You know, or materialism. You know, or, you know, we need to let go of a lot of things. We need to let go of our idea of happiness. We need, most of all, to let go of our idea of ourself, like who we are, because we have a very limited understanding of, like, who we could be, and God has a greater understanding of what we could be. If we just let go of our stuff, then God can work in our lives and make us the people that we were intended to be, that we were created to be, that the gifts we were given can be utilized in our life rather than just squandering them or letting them atrophy because we don't use them because we think we're supposed to be this. More things to let go of. There's a wonderful quote, and I wish I had written this, but I didn't, but I'm going to read it. It says, by Joseph Campbell. We love Joseph Campbell. Wonderful. We must be willing to let go of the life we have planned so we can accept the life that is waiting for us, which is the meditation reading. And in Psalm 55, it says, cast your burden down and he will sustain you. Cast your burden down and he will sustain you. Cast your burden down. Let your burden go. And he, the Holy One, will sustain us. So, next time you feel weighed down by something you're carrying around, you know, carrying around in your back, because you know these things, right? You know when you're carrying a burden. Ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? It's heavy. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't serve me anymore. It doesn't seem to be helping anyone anymore. So why is this on my back? Or why? It's wearing me out. Does it serve me in any way? Ask these questions. Does it serve me in any way? Or is it just an excuse for not living? Oh, I can't do that because I've got to. See where I'm going? Right? It's an excuse for not living, or it's a reason not to be responsible. Oh, I would like to, you know, show up for my family, but I can't because I have blah, 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 or she said, or blah, 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 or, you know, the last time I did, I saw how that, you know, excuses for not being responsible. Or then we need to ask us, what impediments does it create to me living fully? What impediments does it create to me living fully? What blocks does it put up? What boundaries does it create? What walls does it build around me, keeping me from being one with all people and all of creation? And then we have to ask ourselves, this is hard, I hate this one, am I ready to let go of it? Am I ready to let go of it? Have I had enough? Have I had enough? Am I sick and tired of being sick and tired? Have I had enough pain? Have I had enough disappointment? You know, even young people, right? You know, does this resonate with what I'm talking about? Oh, good, I'm glad. Yeah, because it doesn't matter, you know. We start young, right? Like this high. Yeah, I think it starts at Christmas time when we don't get what we want for Christmas. That could easily be true, you know? But anyway, sometimes, you know, that stuff, all our resentments and all these things you said and that I said, they become so familiar to us. We know them. They're like our best friend. You know, it's like a teddy bear of resentment, a teddy bear of pain. You know, it hurts us, but we still hold on to it. You know, we still hold on to it. And then finally, we have to ask ourselves, if we are ready to let go of it, how we're going to let go of it. How we're going to let go of it. I needed a lot of professional help and spiritual help to let go of my animosity, my hatred, and my resentment towards my mother and for what she did to my siblings. And myself. I needed a lot of help with that, but not everything is that complicated, right? You know, and we're not alone. We're not alone. We belong to a faith community. We belong to a larger community, and we can pray. We can ask God for help. You know, that's so hard, you know, right? To get down on our knees like this. This is one of the hardest things for me to do in the morning, in the evening, and say, God, help me. You know, I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore. You know, I got up. But most of all, as I say almost every week, I just don't know many people other than the saints who have had God talk to them directly. So we have to be aware that God speaks through other people. You know, speaks to other people, you know, especially strangers or things that make us uncomfortable, to listen to the voice of God to telling us. So life is about letting go of the things that drag us down. And we have to keep doing this because we keep accumulating baggage. And so it's not a one-time deal. We have to keep doing this. So today, right now, we're going to do a little ritual. And it's a ritual about letting go. And I'm going to put our candle here, the light that's been keeping watch over our creche. And on each side here, I'm going to put something called flash paper. And flash paper is something magicians use. It's magic. And what I'm going to have you do, we're going to have some music, and I'll have those on both sides, and you can come up and you're going to take a piece of the flash paper, and you're just going to stand wherever you want for a moment, and you're going to prepare yourself, as you said, with something you want to let go of, things you want to let go of. Today is December 28th. We have New Year's Eve coming up. It's a new year. Okay, and it's a new church year in our liturgical calendar. So you're going to think of what you want to let go, and then you're going to just go like this. And it's going to go away. If you're like nervous around fire or something, you hand it to me, and I'll do it for you. Okay, so let's have some music, and I'll put these out, and we can take as long as you want. And you can come back for seconds if you want to.